Welcome to Absolute Truth Absolutely, the weekly podcast powered by LWYM and your host, Gio. If you're uncompromising in your search and preservation of the truth, you've come to the right place. Now here's your host, Gio, with Pastor Jesus Martinez.
Hello, ladies and gents, and welcome to a new edition, a new episode of Absolute Truth. Absolutely, it's amazing. We are pretty much in March already. It seems like we had just turned the page on 2011, and we are now in 2012, and we're already into the third month of the year. It's pretty amazing how time flies. We want to thank you for joining us on ATA, and with me, as always, is my, what I call him, my partner in crime, my father and pastor of Living Word Church in Miami, Florida, Jesus Martinez.
Thank you, Gio, once again for the invite. And like I always say, we are trusting God that He will use us to bless His people through the teaching of His holy word.
Yes. A couple of days ago, I started thinking about, you know, we're getting to that time in the country now where it's general election time, and the vetting of the candidates is coming forth. And there's not a lot of vetting going on from the media towards Obama, as we know. They're usually left-leaning and whatnot. But there's a lot of things, a lot of his beliefs that were not exposed out there because, of course, they were in the tank with him. And one of the things that Obama believes is this issue of collective salvation. And there's a quote out there in which he states that his salvation is dependent on the salvation of the collective. Now, this, of course, sprouts out of Marxism and of other similar doctrines which teach that you have to basically group everyone, that individualism is a crime of sorts. It's criminalized. It's ostracized. And you need to make sure that you put everyone into this mass heap of humanity in order so that everyone would be equal. But yet, when I search the scriptures, when we search the scriptures, when anyone searches the scriptures, we see that individualism is actually that something, it's something that is created by God.
Well, first of all, we need to rewind and ask ourselves, why is the media behaving this way? And the reason they're behaving this way is because they were overtaken themselves. And so the people that are heading the news departments, the mass media people, they belong to the niche. They're part of what is being developed. And so it doesn't seem strange to me from that vantage, from that point of view, that they would leave Obama alone and anybody else. Carter is another example that has that mindset because they work for that mindset. Yeah. Having said that, when we go and search out the New Testament, which is what we are governed by, we find that Paul says that every man will be accountable for himself, herself, not a group thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go up there and present myself before God. And I guess I'm speaking to Christians now, right?
Yeah.
And God will say, can I have the Latinos here now? Because I'm going to judge you collectively.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
That's one of the very first things we see in Genesis. Okay, so let's have a word with the man, and okay, so it's the woman that I gave you, right? Okay, so let's have a word with the woman. Oh, it's the serpent that I left in the garden. Okay, let's have a word with the serpent. And so we see that it's an individual thing before God. So buying into this, and when I say buying into this, I have in mind the church.
Yeah.
People like Rick Warren and others seem so absurd. Nevertheless, Christians everywhere are buying the plan.
Yeah. That has even infiltrated this whole collectivist mantra, the group, if you will, has even infiltrated its way into the church walls. And an example of that is Rick Warren and his whole peace plan. In essence, if you want to put it into a nutshell, what he wants to do is he wants to take churchgoers and make them political activists. That's what he wants to do. And of course, he hides under the guise of, yes, this is to forward the gospel, so on and so forth. But yet, there is no gospel presentation in any of this. This is all just for work in third world countries. And again, it's a political activist thing. And that's not the only example where collectivism is preached. You find it in the universities. You find it in the high schools. And if anyone dares dissent from that thought process and says, wait a minute, no, individualism is the way to go, you'll find that you're pretty much going to hit a stone wall of opposition, of people saying, you know, that's wrong. That's wrong. You're not thinking about your brother. And of course, they hide behind the Bible and they twist and turn Bible verses out of context in order to try to present their collectivist mantra as something that is biblical. But we find in the Bible that everything is the opposite. For example, we go back to Genesis. In the beginning, God says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Now, what do we find about God? What makes up God's characteristics? He's unique. He's the only living God. Jesus, when he's praying to the Father in John 17:3, he goes on to say, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God." So God is unique in that respect. Isaiah 45:6 goes on to say, "I am the Lord God, the only one." So God is unique. So by default, if we're going to use simple, plain, and sound logic and reason, if God is unique, he creates us a unique people.
I remember years ago, somebody gave me a prophecy that was spelled out, pronounced by Kenneth Copeland. And the essence of the prophecy was that the larger ministries, the larger churches, would just swallow up the smaller ones. And when I first heard that, I was offended. And of course, the listener would say he was probably offended because they're a small church. By today's standards, I would say we are a mid-sized church. I was offended because when I look at creation, when I look at God, when I look at the way he's done things to show us how things are supposed to work, I don't see the big things swallowing up the small things. The only place I see that is in evolution, and I know that's contrary to God's word and will. And so I remember people just saying, "Wow, this is a great thing." And you know what, Gio? It's come to pass because many of the smaller ministries are starting to disappear, and these big ministries are taking over. And when I look back now, I go, I just wonder where that prophecy came from, because if anything is hurting the body of Christ right now, is the very fact that some of these large ministries, like Rick Warren's ministry, they've become the voice for Christianity. They've become the trendsetters, the models. And what have they bought into? Collectivism.
Well, what's Time Magazine, didn't they categorize him as one of the, I think, 15 or top 50, I don't even remember the number, most influential evangelicals in America right now? So obviously they categorize him in the top tier of church leaders, if you will.
But you know, you need to ask yourself, if you're an individual, why would you want to be turned into a worker bee or a worker ant?
Yeah.
And that just goes to show that people have bought into the lie. Because I would be fighting with all my strength to keep my rights, my freedoms. I'm an individual. This is the way God made me, and this is the way that I would want it. This is the way that I can truly enjoy freedom.
Yeah. Well, there's a few things that when people that buy into collectivism, they negate, they try to brush off, and they even criminalize it and ostracize it, and it is this: individual responsibility and uniqueness, which is what God has given us. And we find this, of course, in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did everything opposite to what the religious zealots of his time and those that were part of the Jewish culture were doing. He did everything completely opposite. And of course, I mean, they murdered him for it just because he was doing everything different. Now, some people can take this and you know how this generation is. They kind of try take everything and they try to turn it into a libertinist mentality. And that's not where we're going with this. What we're talking about is living above the collectivist mentality, living above that sinful mentality, which the secular world, which is designed by Satan, tries to trap everyone in and make everyone part of the same pot. Whereas Christians, we're called to be a peculiar people, a particular people, a people separated unto him, unto Christ. What does that usually mean? Well, everybody, every Christian pretty much understands that this means living above the influence of the world, living according to how God wants us to live. But yet we find, like we were talking about earlier, the church has adopted these ideals, and now they're selling it as biblically sound to its adherents. And this is even getting into youth groups now, where of course you can be one with Islam, we can be one with Catholics, we can be, you don't need to proselytize, that's a famous terminology that they use, you don't need to evangelize to your friends, you know, because everyone has their own truths, so on and so forth. So what I see from this is that at the very core of this ideology, it attacks at individual responsibility, the individual responsibility that every person has to come to the feet of the Lord and also fend for themselves as to responsibility towards their neighbor.
The flip side of that coin, Gio, is that if you as an individual happen to be successful because of your hard work, because you put in the hours, because you know you burn the candle at both ends, now the people with the other mentality, the collective mentality, want to punish you for that also. And not only do they ostracize you and point you out as something that is malignant to the collective idea, now they even want to take away from you what you earned. You didn't steal it. You took it from no one. You worked hard for it. And all of a sudden, they want to take it away from you in different ways through regulations, taxation. For me, it's very interesting that Obama, who is of this mentality, he is most definitely of the collective mentality, is now teaming up with ex-President Clinton to go to the 1% to get money for his re-election campaign. And so I'm just asking myself, are people not seeing these things?
Yeah.
It's just a few turning the rest of us into worker ants. I want to be an individual. If I'm hated for it, if I am ostracized for it, so be it.
Yeah.
I want to be an individual. Because
yeah.
I know when God Almighty calls us to, you know, speak as to our deeds and what we did and did not do, he's not going to say, well, this particular group, come forth now. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to deal with you. It's on a one-on-one.
Well, if we use logic and we use, you know, sane reasoning, we can arrive at the conclusion and we can pretty much dissect the lies of collectivism, and we can use a couple of examples.
True.
I'm pretty sure you had this encounter, and anybody who's been through, I guess, the public school system or some sort of school system knows that at one point or another, there was that teacher that loved to punish the group for the sins of the one.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wondered when I was younger, and I know we've spoken about this before, it's like, why would you want to punish the rest of the group, even the good doers, for the evil doer? That absolutely makes no sense. So now what you're doing is that you're removing individual responsibility. In other words, saying, you know what? You were the one that committed the crime. You're going to pay for it because you were the one that committed it. But now you're punishing the rest of the people for his evil doing. So I look at that and I say, wait a minute. Okay. Why not punish this individual? But we see that from a very young age.
Oh, because somebody's got to rat him out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then from a very young age, they're starting to instill the collectivist mantra inside of the minds and hearts of the young people. And it's no wonder they adopt this when they get older.
We rat people out all the time. If you see somebody breaking into your neighbor's house, you most probably will try to get a description of the individual, maybe a tag or whatever you can to help catch that guy. Because, you know, this ain't right. He's breaking into my neighbor's house.
Yeah.
But the teachers, just staying on your example, are saying, you don't want to rat this guy out, do you? Okay, so I'm going to punish all of you. Why don't the kids speak out? Because I don't want to be a rat.
Hmm.
I don't want to be a rat. And it's another way of turning people into the collective. You know, both sides of the coin work against you here. All I'm saying is that we rat people out all the time.
Yeah.
And it's the right thing to do under certain circumstances, because if not, what you've got is a mafia mentality.
Yep.
Again, I'll go back to my example. If I see somebody breaking into your car and I can get a description of the person, I'm going to help you out.
Exactly.
Because the guy is taking your goods, something that you worked for, that you probably worked very hard for. And I'm not going to feel bad about it.
Yep.
So if I'm sitting in a setting of 30 students and this individual is messing it up for all of us, hey, I'm going to tell on him.
Yep.
Yeah, but the rest of them are going to think that you're a rat. Let them think what they think.
Exactly.
Why should I pay for his wrongs?
Yep.
You know, Jesus flipped this coin, if you will. He didn't say the many will pay for the one. The one paid for the many.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so these are just twisted ideas, Gio, that get into society. And I'm glad you used that example, because the kids get bombarded with it. And next thing you know, this is the new generation. Take a look at all the films that they're making for kids now.
Yeah.
They're all eco-friendly. They're full of the eco message. And so they drive these ideas into the mentality of the child. And next thing you know, the next generation is owned by it.
Well, I'm reading a book right now, a very good one, and it's not very famous. Sometimes the not so very famous books are the best ones, because they're packed with information and people don't want to read what's in there because it's so factual that they try to stay away from it. But in it, this author, he speaks about how international law would have a coming collision with U.S. liberties. Because, for example, we've got the UN, the United Nations out there trying to bring everyone under the same banner and get rid of American exceptionalism. That title, which was given to us because we were exceptional among the nations, especially for a period of time, because of the rights that are given to us, you know, spelled out in the Declaration of Independence, so on and so forth. And for example, one of the things, and this is the next example I wanted to use, is you notice that the people that preach collectivism, they always tell you we're all going to be part of the same bunch. But what they never tell people, and people never find out, is that there's usually a hierarchy, a very small group of elites that stay above the collective, because everyone just can't be part of the mush. Someone's got to lead that group. Somebody's got to lead that pack. And we can take that example. Hitler, Mao, Castro, all the way back to Alexander the Great, the Caesars, the British monarchs, all of these people. Eventually, the few lead the many. So we find, for example, in the United Nations, and he speaks, this author speaks about it in the book, how they are trying to trump U.S. liberties, the individual freedoms that we all enjoy, via international law. For example, in 1990, there was a convention that was ratified by more than 70 world leaders. And this convention was titled the UN Convention for the Rights of the Child. And in it, some of the things that you find delineated are child's rights. For example, if the parents are monitoring what the children are watching on TV or what it is that they're reading on a magazine, that could be an imposition of their so-called rights. Somebody might say, wow, that sounds good. All of a sudden, the whole point of this legislation is to take away kids from under the guise, from under the guide of their parents, so that they can indoctrinate the kids.
Because as Hillary said, it takes a village.
Well, she was part of it, and of even course. Clinton was part, you of know, course. Bill Clinton was part of this whole societal mantra that they want to bring forth.
So you and your wife become a birth machine, and they indoctrinate and produce the workers for the system. That's just the way it goes down.
Exactly. Well, I'll give you another example, another thing that sprouted out of UNESCO, which is a branch of the United Nations. SAECAS, who is that? Well, that's short for Sex, Information, and Education Council of the United States. These people were the first to advocate for sex education in public schools at an early age. And this is an offspring or an offshoot of what the UN did in 1964 in Germany, where they were saying, you know what, they're not getting this education from the parents, sexual education, that is. So let's teach it to them ourselves. Has anyone ever asked themselves?
With their own spin on it, of course.
Exactly. We know because we've seen it. Now we've seen the results of it, of the perverse things that they're putting in the public school libraries and stuff. But for example, UNICEF. People, that kind of flew under the radar. What their slogan was, or probably still is, has been for a long time, because every child is our child. Whoa, wait a minute. Wait just a darn minute. Where are you going with that? That's my child. He's my responsibility. But like I was saying before, collectivism now removes individual responsibility. My responsibility over my child. Now it's the collective's opportunity to rear my child.
And again, Gio, they have so many organizations working for them. It's not just UN, it's the teachers' unions, it's the media, whether it be television, whether it be radio, whether it be the written page. Another group that is very influential in all of this is the Hollywood elite. If you would look at the amount of people that repeat what Oprah Winfrey says, you would go like, this is dangerous. This is really, really dangerous. But nevertheless, she gets out there, she puts out her ideas, and people go, that's wonderful, that's so deep, that is so fantastic. The View. And I'm just mentioning a few of the programs that have taken off, and people basically worship at that altar on a daily basis. And they have their own doctrines, their own set of ideas. And yes, it has to do with sex, it has to do with philosophy, it has a supposed spirituality, and it all is driving people to one and the same place. You must be part of this mass, and if not, like you said, we're going to ostracize you, we're going to cut you out, we're going to show you to be malignant, a tumor that needs to be cut off. And at the end, God knows what will happen to the people that refuse to join, because I don't think we've seen the details. And when I say I don't think we've seen the details, I'm talking about people that don't read their Bible. But at the end, I believe incarceration and even the taking of life is possible for those that refuse, and not only possible, probable and most likely, for those that refuse to conform.
Well, we've seen it before. History repeats itself. You know, the whole famous phrase, it has happened and it will happen again, and it's very spelled out in prophecy. The last point I want to touch upon, and I'll leave you with the last word, is this mentality, the collective mentality, as we spoke about it a little bit at the beginning, has already infiltrated within the church. What are some of the things that you're seeing? And we've even spoken about this in previous episodes as examples of this. How it is that you see church leaders now coming together and they're closing the gap on biblical Christianity, and they're tossing it out as saying, no, 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 that's heretical. You can't have any of that because it's getting in the name, or rather in the way of unity.
I'm seeing the name Jesus Christ disappear. It's all about the ministry of so-and-so and the idea of so-and-so. Very dangerous. Biblical doctrine is going out the window, and what is replacing it? Psychology. It's becoming the doctrinal material for our standards of living, and that in no way, shape, or form is in agreement with Scripture. And number three, I see that many people think that Jesus came to build a worldly kingdom, and they're working for that. And the pastoral group, the pastoral body, is making them believe that they're working for the kingdom of God. And that's just to mention three. But when you take a look at the three that I have just mentioned, the disappearance of Jesus, I mean, you hardly hear Jesus mentioned. It's about this principle. It's about that law. It's about this ministry. It's about, you know, the next convention. When you see people that used to be, in love with the idea of holding the title of minister, now they are professional counselors. And when you look at their background, what does that mean? They're psychologists. And the pulpits are full of them. So when you take those two, and then you take the third one, these people becoming activists, not on behalf of the real kingdom, but on behalf of secular ideas, now you've got the church that is the only thing that is supposed to keep truth alive, you know, is the real body of Christ that is supposed to keep truth alive. You've got the church aligned with the secular. Where do you go from there?
Yeah, it's pretty much a dead end. And this is where we, and I call it the true believers, we have to make sure that we align ourselves very strictly with, you know, Bible, with the scriptures, with biblical Christianity, like we've said, because you've mentioned it before. It's a point of being a biblical Christian, not any other type of Christian, not under any other categorization or banner, just a biblical Christian. So that's a good way to end the program today. So thank you again for listening in. This is Absolute Truth Absolutely with your host, Gio, and of course, my father and pastor of Living Word Church, Jesus Martinez. If you have any questions or comments that you'd like to send our way, please do so by writing us at ata@lwim.org. That address, again, is ata@lwim.org. And check out our website, lwim.org/ata. Until the next episode, may the Lord shine his face upon you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or suggested topics for future shows, send them our way to info@lwim.org. That's info@lwim.org. Visit our website in order to download past episodes and subscribe to our free email updates. The web address is www.lwim.org/ata. This has been Absolute Truth Absolutely. Absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty.